The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. We'll probably have some Thrones talk today and maybe some football talk. Who knows? Let's just get it rolling. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on.
On!
For a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, if you are. At AJ is the real, R-E-A-L. At Jong Snow with a zero. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of sports happened. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. How was your weekend?
It was fantastic, besides the fact that I drove to West Texas.
Oh. So how many did you knock out?
Five.
Nice.
I'm down to, I've eaten it now, 45 of the top 50 barbecue places in the state of Texas.
Yeah? Was there a standout in this trip?
There were two. One was in Dallas, and that's where we started our journey. Place called Cadillac that may be the best overall that I've had. And then the last one we had was a place called Evie Mays in a town called Wolforth just outside of Lubbock.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good too. So both of those were in the top 10, so they weren't really a surprise to me. But yeah, they lived up to the hype.
Well, that's always good when they do that.
And then other than that, man, it's a great weekend because the Texans beat the Patriots. In your face, Patriots. You guys can take all those shiny trophies and, you know, your Super Bowl rings or whatever.
Your Jacoby Briskets.
Yeah, Jacoby Brisket with two hands. The Texans can stop. They know they've got your number when you've got two hands. Okay, so Jacoby Brisket with a broken hand. The Texans weren't ready for that, okay? Let's all be serious. The Texans weren't ready to face a quarterback with a broken hand.
No.
And he beat him.
Yeah. Caught him off guard.
With two hands. The game plan for a two-handed quarterback, Texans shut him down. Shut that nonsense down. That was the most dominant victory, I think, in the history of the rivalry, wouldn't you say?
Certainly in the preseason, yeah.
I'd say overall. I mean,
They beat him one other time in the regular season when Brady didn't play much.
Okay.
But I'm still going to go with that one.
Was it as dominant as this? This was pure ass-kicking, Fred. Come on. This is where it's at. Don't be a Texans doubter now. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Okay.
Crickets.
You want to doubt? That's fine. You can doubt. I'm telling you now, the Texans, this is the best team in the whole world.
Didn't know Jaguars beat the Patriots last week, too.
Fred, that was... Game one of the preseason doesn't even count.
Oh, okay. Game two does.
Game two, next to game three, is the most realistic game in preseason, right?
I suppose so.
Doesn't it go 3-2-1-4?
Yeah.
See? Yeah. This is almost regular season quality win.
Okay. Realistic in terms of...
Oh, man. I don't understand what you're not seeing. I feel like you should know, but...
I thought there were some good things on both sides of the ball. Again, I don't think the Patriots were going out of their way to do anything defensively to disrupt the Texans, and Texans weren't doing anything to the Patriots either. They were playing pretty straight, and I thought we saw some good things. And it's a preseason game. I'm not ready to start beating that drum just yet. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Well, you beat away. You beat away.
To each his own. I mean, your confidence is low, mine is high. And
actually, I feel like I want to see if Tom Savage can keep doing this in the regular season when he starts seeing some pressure, because he does, in the past, he's held on to the ball a little too long from the few times we've seen him. But I think he's looked pretty good these first 2 weeks.
Can we agree that so far, Savage greater than Watson in preseason?
Yeah, although some of those guys Watson was throwing to Saturday night don't even belong in. I mean, they should be flipping burgers at McDonald's.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, I think he's farther along.
By the way, that's basically every receiver on the Texans not named DeAndre Hopkins.
Pretty much, yeah.
Ellington's he basically made the team because he caught the ball a couple times. They're like, wow, guess what? Guaranteed roster spot. with the situation now with these Texans wide receivers, there's so many just guys that don't belong on an NFL team that Ellington, I think with that performance alone, probably locked up his spot.
Yeah, they've definitely got some depth problems there. And, you know, we talked about if all those guys are healthy and step up a little bit, Jalen Strong and guys like that, you expected Will Fuller to be better, even though I still think he was going to drop a bunch of passes. But suddenly you don't have Will Fuller. Suddenly Miller's not playing. Hopkins isn't out there. It's not ideal, but hopefully by the regular season, you'll at least have three serviceable receivers.
Okay.
Did you have
three serviceable receivers last year?
No, but again, I do think you've got some guys who should improve. Braxton Miller should be better.
Okay.
Jalen Strong, I think it's time for him to be better. He's shown some flashes. He's been in the league long enough now.
But you're assuming that all these guys are actually good players in the NFL.
Well, I don't know if they'll be good players, but I think they can be better than they were last year.
Okay.
Which is your question. I mean, that's what you asked me. And, you know, I do think guys can improve, and receivers especially. I think it's – you see a lot more guys coming into the league now that have an immediate impact. But it's still, you know, it's still not that common. But – I mean, I think that's one thing. It's hard to judge what they had out there because that better not be what they have in the regular season.
Yeah.
Because you're just not going to accomplish a whole hell of a lot with that group. Astro Dynamite says, I got crushed by friends and family for saying we should let the Pats win and not piss them off. Thing is, they don't care about preseason.
They don't.
Bill Belichick does not care.
Their feelings aren't hurt.
No. And he's just trying to get Garoppolo and those guys reps. Although, Bill O'Brien was not in a very good mood today. Did you see what he had to say today?
Let's hear it. We have that, right, John?
It's great to be in front of our fans. We didn't practice very well today, though, so we got to pick it up tomorrow. But it's great to be back in front of our fans. Our players need to get going, though.
What do you want to see them do better?
Play better. Practice better.
The changing environment.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. We have to practice better. We got to coach better. We got to practice better. You know, we got to come out and we got to do a better job tomorrow.
He's such a salty Sally.
He is.
It's always like, dude, and granted, it was preseason, but, and I guess I would be on his ass if he started beating his chest about the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You would.
I don't need that, but is it really time to hammer your guys and say, oh, you just need to play better? I mean, maybe they do. They probably do. But it just seems like.
Oh, they got to coach better, too, though.
The coaching's
better,
perfect, Fred. What are you talking
better,
about?
Coach better, play better, practice better.
There's no questioning the coaching here. I don't know why you would do that.
It's just he gets off on these little salty little things where he won't even say what the problem is.
I think he's mad. He's upset about the dragon. That's what.
We'll talk about that at 5:30.
Okay.
Strohs for Life says, when is Bill O'Brien ever in a good mood? He's hit and miss, mostly after a game. If they win, he's at least, you know, somewhat laid back. But that was pretty – there's a lot of other stuff, too. He just was short with every – and it's one of those things. It's like, okay, if you don't want to deal with the damn media, send Romeo out there and let him do it one day.
Yeah, it was like a 90-second press conference.
Yeah.
Is that even allowed?
I have no idea.
Would it be allowed for him not to go talk to the media? Or is that only on game day he's required to?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how often he's supposed to do it. It's more often than he wants to. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just seemed to be a little bit cranky today. 713-780-ESPN. Do you believe that Deshaun Watson is more of a playmaker and can make a difference more than Savage? I think by the end of the season, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think.
He's more of a playmaker. The upside with Tom Savage is minimal. The upside with Deshaun Watson is great, but with this team, and we talked about this for the last several years, last 2 years at least, you just want somebody who's not going to screw it up. And as of today, I think the floor with Tom Savage is safer than the floor with Deshaun Watson. Long term, I obviously think Deshaun Watson's a better prospect. But
after you play the Patriots, I want to see Watson in there. Because and
which is what, week three?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. After that game, because you don't want him to go play those guys in a game that matters. And you know Savage is not going to have a good game there. And if he does, great. But realistically, he's not. And then that's the easy time to do it. And I think he'll be ready by then. I really
what
think
if,
he's
I mean,
closer than...
What if Tom Savage goes 2-0 to start, they lose to the Patriots, competitive game, you pull him then?
Depends on how he plays.
Because honestly, we've seen that Bill O'Brien, if anything, he's almost too patient with bad quarterback play. Like, it took him forever on the Hoyer-Mallett deal. It took him forever on Osweiler. He'll ride that bad boy out.
I think it took him forever on Osweiler because of the commitment they made. I don't think he'll wait too long here. I really don't, because just the opposite, the commitment they made on the other side. We'll see.
Hey, I did an interview with Juggalo Trey.
Yeah.
I'm curious your opinion and Jong's opinion if we should run it or not. I don't know. How long is it, Jong?
It's a little too long. Maybe close to 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's too long then. Okay.
Can we get somebody to chop it down a little bit? Get it down to a segment?
Yeah, we can.
We could probably do that. There's some interesting things we learned about Trey, but I also am in a moral dilemma because Trey, he talked about some things that he regrets, and he wants to go back and take it off the record, which technically isn't allowed.
Yeah, you have to say that beforehand.
Right. But he knew the interview was going. He knew the mics were hot. But some of the content is Trey getting beat up in junior high. Trey ranking the hosts that work here from favorite to least favorite. So I don't know. I don't know if you're curious about any of those things, but it's a little bit of an insight to Juggalo Trey and the way he thinks.
Interesting.
So I mean, you can maybe John can play a little of it for you. You can decide if you want to hear more. We can do it like that.
Well, John, you've heard it, right?
I've heard bits and pieces.
I'm sure it'll be funny. We should play it at some point.
Okay.
It's not like there's tons of stuff to talk about today. We got Thrones at 5:30, and other than that, it's more sports.
Well, are you saying that this is just nonsense?
When has that ever kept something off of our show?
This is a very serious interview.
When has nonsense ever been a reason not for us not to run something?
This was serious.
Serious nonsense? Maybe we should ask his mom.
Don't bring his mom into this.
I'm just saying.
Other things that we talked about, Trey's views on religion. And how his family's not very happy about his views on religion.
Ah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll discuss it. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So when are we going to air this thing?
I don't know. Jong, I guess Trey is pretty adamant that he doesn't want to talk about his sex life in this.
Yes.
You want to tell him to come in here?
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what he wants to get cut out of this thing. But yeah, he's he had something to say. Then he was like, "I don't want to say that," but it was too late. So
there's no cussing or anything in this, is there?
I think there's cussing once. Tyler will know. Brandon was in the background and he cussed once. It was before Trey knew the mic was on.
Shame, Bill.
We can run it back in like the 6 o'clock hour since we have Trey here.
Okay.
That sounds good.
We'll play it later on. Come sit down, Trey.
Yeah, go sit over there next to your favorite host.
Yeah.
Is that where he put you?
I'll move it. There you go, bud.
Juggalo Trey, the intern.
Hey.
You did an interview with me earlier.
I did.
And you have some regret.
Yeah. I feel bad.
Do you feel like I tricked you into saying things that you didn't want to say?
I don't think so. Like, I said them. I shouldn't have said them, you know?
Okay, but you do have regrets about them, right?
I have regrets, yeah.
Is what things in particular do you feel like you regret talking about?
I regret talking about, like, all the hosts. Like, everybody's going to be mad now. I don't
The rankings of the hosts?
Like, I like everybody the same, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
You like me the same as you like John Granato? And he calls you a dumbass all the time. So like,
I take that back. I like everyone almost the same.
Right, so that's why
like
there's a ranking.
I don't like being called a dumbass.
Yeah,
know?
I don't. I like never
Barry,
call you a dumbass.
I like Barry. Just so everybody knows, Barry's cool.
But then
like,
Barry,
I really like Barry,
Barry questioned how smart you were.
I know, but it's okay. Like Barry, like
that's not okay to me.
It's not.
No, I don't think Barry should
why
be saying
does it
that
matter?
Stuff about you.
Why, it doesn't.
Because you're putting in hard work here at the station,
I'm
Trey.
I'm not doing as much as some of the others, but
why not?
I don't know. Like I'm not, like, doing as much as a lot of them work a lot harder than I do.
Why don't you work harder?
I come in a lot, but, like, a lot of them
you're
are
slacking. You're just
no,
kinda...
no, like, I had to go on. I went to go see my mom for 3 days. I probably should have not done that, but
I mean, family's important.
Yeah, but I had already went to, like, on a week vacation.
Oh.
Yeah. With,
well, just when you're here, just work your ass off. That's all.
That's what I try to do.
Where did you have Fred in your rankings?
He's like, I think, third.
No, he was number four.
He's in the playoff at least.
Yeah, but do you feel like that's in a bad rating for Fred?
Probably, yeah.
Fred, do you feel offended that you're actually right in the middle of the seven full-time hosts here? You're right in the middle. Is that good or bad for you?
I don't care. Yeah, Trey's not my target audience.
Yeah.
No, I really do like. Y'all are like the reason like I listen to sports radio.
Right. Of course we are.
Yeah. I found your show first.
And our show is better than the other shows. You agree with that, right?
I don't want to say anything. Anybody's better than anybody. Y'all are all great equally.
Trey.
What? Like, am I not wrong? Am I wrong?
You think that John and Raheel's show is as good as our show?
I think every show on this station is great equally.
What are you, a Dynamo cheerleader all of a sudden?
Well,
we'd have them on. They say the same thing about everything.
Like,
oh, she's just, we're all just as pretty as the other
one. You know what makes radio great, Trey? Having a good, solid opinion.
Honesty.
Right?
And honesty.
Honesty.
And y'all have the opinions. Yeah, that's why y'all are on the radio.
But we're asking
I'm not.
Your opinion.
Well, I like this show a lot. It's a great show. It's like.
It's probably better than John and Raheel's show, right?
Yeah, probably better.
Probably better than The Usual Suspects.
I'm not going to go that far.
What?
Because The Usual Suspects and you guys are like the two my two favorites. Like they brought me on the they brought me on like everybody brought me on and I like
John. Are you hearing this right?
Yeah. I just don't like how
he's saying The Usual Suspects brought him on here
on the radio. Like, they gave me a segment.
Okay.
I don't know what you want me to say.
I don't want you to say anything, Trey. You've answered all the questions. Is that the only things that you have regrets about?
Oh, yeah, and I'm sorry about that whole thing with a girl.
You didn't want to talk about her,
no,
huh?
No.
You want to take her out of the discussion?
Yes. She's a nice person, though.
Okay. You guys, is there anything that might be said in the interview that you regret?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's gone. So,
it's gone for good? Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But
do you want to talk any more about why you guys broke up?
No, not really.
Okay.
It'll bring up old wounds.
Old wounds.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Trey's very sensitive, Fred, if you didn't know this.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, he's got a good heart.
Yeah, I try to. I don't want to, like,
you don't
make
like to ruffle Fred? You don't,
no.
He doesn't like to ruffle
I don't like
feathers.
To rumble anybody's feathers.
Ruffle.
Oh, it's ruffle?
Or rumble them, whatever you want to
you
do.
You don't rumble
They're
feathers.
Yeah.
I always thought it was rumbled feathers.
All right, go back out there and answer the phones or something,
right,
Trey.
Yeah. Thanks, AJ. Yeah. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks for giving me a bunch of answers that you won't let me play on the air.
Yeah, 281 says Trey's giving everyone participation trophies.
That's
typical millennial.
Juggalo Trey is the ultimate millennial.
Yeah.
He's a participation trophy kind of guy. I can't believe he's saying The Usual Suspects brought him on.
Well, they gave him a segment, apparently.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for us.
Yeah, well. He doesn't want him to take... See, he doesn't want them to take him off there.
They already did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then they should have dropped in his rankings.
Yes. Oh, wow.
See, but Trey's trying to get in the business, right? So he doesn't want to piss anybody off. You and I can piss people off. We don't care. Nobody's getting rid of us. Tyson says, well, I agree with you two on Deshaun's upside. The stats after two preseason games show differently. So if Savage goes 2-1 during the week 4, do you just pull him? Makes no sense. He will get his chance, but What have you seen that says he's better now, Tyson? What I've seen is Savage playing with the first team, and what I've seen is Deshaun Watson playing with a bunch of guys who aren't going to be in the league and creating a lot of plays and bringing a different element. I don't know how Savage is going to look once it starts playing for real, because the Tom Savage that I've seen in regular season is the 12-10 Tom Savage. That's what I've seen. So until he proves to me that something better than – and preseason, man, I don't know how many times we have to get into this. You can't really judge from that. But until he shows me he's better than that, he's looked good in the preseason before. When teams are actually coming after him and he's not holding on to the ball too long, which I hope he does, but until he shows me that, there's a reason you traded two picks to get this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do
Well, think, he's your future, no doubt.
Yeah, there is no doubt.
He better be anyway.
So.
But we've also seen it before where a team drafts a guy or trades for him or signs him as a free agent, and then somebody else comes along and unexpectedly is just better than them, and sometimes they can hold on to that job for a while.
And if he does, great. That means you're having some success. And that would be a good thing.
But I would, if I were Bill O'Brien, I'd have a pretty quick hook as well on Tom Savage, because I want to see what they can do with Deshaun Watson. But I also understand why, you know, patience with the guy who's been in your system for a few years makes sense.
Yeah, and you don't want to rush Watson in if he's not ready. I think he's closer to ready than they were expecting him to be.
He didn't look great yesterday, though, I will say.
No,
that.
He didn't, but I also think if you dig into it a little bit, it wasn't as bad as you see 3-for-10 and you go, oh, that's horrible. But there were a couple passes at least that weren't his fault. I mean, the incomplete fumble that wasn't a fumble after all, I mean, that ball's got to be caught. He put it right where we're supposed to go.
Well, also, if you look at the bright side of his stats, was he went over 100 yards, and really the reason he did that is because Deontay Foreman had an incredible play.
Yeah.
That wasn't a great Deshaun Watson play. That was a dump-off Foreman did everything with.
But he basically had two passes that happened with, and that's where the yards came from. But I think, I'm not the one beating the drum to replace Tom Savage, but I guarantee you that, yeah, unless he's going to show us an element that we've never seen, and please don't count 8-for-9 in a preseason game, then I don't think he'll be your starter midway through the season. And maybe he does show that. We'll see. I hope he does, because that gives you a good problem. Plus, I think it's all going to be moot when he snaps an ankle or something.
All right, let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free, who's on the line. What's up, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. Beautiful hot afternoon. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, the eclipse cooled it down, Aubrey.
It did?
Yeah.
I was standing out there and I got sunburned during the eclipse, man.
Oh, man. If you put sunscreen in your eyes, SPF 50 or greater, you don't even need glasses to look at the sun.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Man, you see, I learned so much by tuning into you guys. That's why I hang out with you.
There you go.
Friends, if you want to learn a lot about keeping your home interior quality up, and I mean different facets of your home, your carpet, tile, leather, grout, drapes, upholstery, even your wood floors, we can go through and coat that with a dust-free little polymer, a new polymer we have for people with wood floors. It's time to pick up the phone, call 281-DIRT-FREE. 281-DIRT-FREE with one E, because if you punch the extra in, it won't ring, believe it or not. 281-DIRT-FREE, 347-8373. We'll come out to your house with super water, no soaps. It's an altered water we create. We have our own pre-spot temporary in our giant van-powered machine. We built our own water wand pre-spot truck. Check it out for yourself by dialing 281-DIRT-FREE. Three rooms is $100. We'll give you a $100 free speed dry right now by calling 281-DIRT-FREE. Discounts on tile, grout, air ducts, leather, drapes. Just let us know how we can help you, and we're there to serve and make your home look brand new.
All right, that's Aubrey with Dirt Free. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Thanks, guys.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. if you want to get in. So are you excited about the eclipse today?
I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed. A, it was super cloudy here, so I couldn't see anything that was going on.
Yeah.
And we were only getting like partial eclipse anyway.
Right.
So it didn't really even, it didn't seem much different to me. It just seemed like a cloudy ass day.
Well, that's the thing. Most days around here you have an eclipse. It's called a cloud. But I got off Twitter for a while because it was funny the first time I saw it, but when people were just holding something up in front of the sun, like eclipse gum and things like that, it's like, okay, guys, enough.
Lamont says, I get confused on predicting Watson will get better than Tom by sitting on the bench in a specific week. How often does that happen, excluding Rodgers? Here's the way I look at it, and especially with the way this offensive line's built right now, I'm okay throwing Savage out there for a while because I don't want Deshaun Watson to be David Carr. And I don't want that dude to go out there and get wrecked and have his confidence get wrecked and just be, you know, and that's a real thing. You go out there your first several games and you don't have time, you're just getting smashed on like David Carr did. I think David Carr physically had everything he needed to be a good NFL quarterback. He just didn't have the support. And I think that sort of shell shock of his first couple years didn't help him at all. And I don't know that right now Deshaun Watson's in a position where, while he's learning to play in the NFL, should be behind this offensive line.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I also think there is, you know who else will ruin a young quarterback? The damn Patriots. We see it all the time when guys go in there and play them the first time and they find ways to stop them, and it takes them weeks, sometimes a lot of games, to recover from that.
Right.
Because they show other teams how to defend them. I don't need to see that. I'd rather he just sit for the first few here. And if Savage isn't any good, it's not going to matter.
Can I throw something else out there about quarterbacks? Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, I understand there's some good film on the guy, but he doesn't look like anything special to me. And I know I'm just taking it off of a preseason game, but he's going against the twos as well. And the Texans' twos on defense, they ain't great. And he just looked, I mean, he looked like he was holding the ball too long. It just looked weird. He didn't look anything like what we've been sold.
Well, sometimes it's not as easy to play with the twos, you know, but I last year he looked pretty good in limited action.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also think, boy, they built him up so much and they're not going to trade him for a number one pick and all these things. Now, you'd like to see him play a little better if you're the Patriots. But
oh, for sure.
Maybe he's the next guy.
Or the Patriots should have already traded him off and gotten max value for him. Another tweet. This one from Ryan. What do y'all think about Pat Mahomes, and do y'all think he takes Alex Smith's job this year? I'm big on the Pat Mahomes is probably going to be a total trash can in the NFL camp. Maybe I'm wrong. And look, he looked pretty decent in a preseason game. I'm not buying into that. And to me, the Chiefs are a team that they got potential to make a run in the AFC playoffs. They're not benching a quality veteran quarterback for a rookie who's taking his first couple snaps of his life under center. I just can't picture that happening.
Well, I'm of the opinion that if somebody from that offense is going to succeed, this is a perfect place for him to be with a good quarterback coach in a situation where he doesn't have to go out there and start playing right away and shouldn't. And I think athletically, and he's got the arm, he's mobile, he's also very raw. And Andy Reid will get the best out of him at some point, but there's no reason to rush him into the lineup.
None. And that's you think about the situation the Chiefs have. Wouldn't that be great if the Texans had that situation? They had a dude like Alex Smith waiting in the wings, for Deshaun Watson to be waiting in the wings behind instead of Tom Savage, who.
But I think next year is kind of what they're aiming for with Mahomes. And they think that long term he can be a guy who can make more plays for him down the field than what Alex Smith does. But right now I'd be surprised if he plays this year unless Alex Smith gets hurt or suddenly turns into pick six Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Which, always possible. Man, Somebody sent me, I read the story about they're adding a new sports station in Vancouver, so they're going to have two stations. And
are you leaving? You going to go work up there?
No. But I can't. The damn Canadian content laws, I can't be on the air unless I stay there for a year and get my citizenship. Once before. But just this thought process. We will skew 20s, 30s, and 40s because, in my opinion, a new voice needs to be heard. If you talk to a lot of people in the market, they want to hear a different take. They don't necessarily want to hear references to Seinfeld. They want to hear something about Game of Thrones. Are people still out there talking about Seinfeld on the radio?
Boy, that'd be awkward if they were.
Yeah, I'm just curious where that came from.
I mean, if we're in 2017 and you're throwing off a Seinfeld reference that isn't the Sponge or the Soup Nazi, like you're going that deep, you're kind of weird.
Even those things now at this point, and
like I've
maybe
heard
once every six months.
Yeah, but if that's a regular thing, that's odd.
Yeah. Well, that's good that they're looking forward.
Speaking of, how did the Palillo experiment go today, John?
I got a couple of segments, you know. Charlie's doing Charlie.
Okay, same old, same old.
Yeah, same old.
Why
same
did he
old.
Bail on our show the other day?
Oh, it was just a miscommunication by me.
Why did you do that?
Well, you had
my audience all worked up.
Yeah, I
tweeted out to them and said, "Listen, Charlie Palillo's filling in for us today," and then you turned out to be a big fat liar.
Yeah, I emailed him asking if he wanted to fill in with Jerome, and then it's one of those things where I guess I read it the way that I thought I wanted to read it instead of what he actually meant. He said he thought if filling in would kind of take thunder away from the debuting his show, and I read that as in like it's good for his show. So yeah, that's how it was misconstrued.
Okay. So it was just Jerome by himself?
No, it was Jerome and Shock.
Okay. How'd that go?
It was good. It was good.
All right. And you worked on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Who'd you work with, Jerome?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was fine.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
You're a true pro.
Yeah, Jerome's a pro, and they brought us whiskey.
Oh, how was that?
16-year-old scotch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I saved a little for you.
Okay.
So.
What's your name?
Well, there was a 21-year-old and a 16-year-old, and I chose the 16-year-old.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
But, so apparently Mike Greenberg makes a lot of Seinfeld references.
Well.
And now Lamont's saying Rich Lord does.
Rich Lord sucks worse than anyone in this market. Of course he does.
Well, he can't get hired in Vancouver, not at that new station.
No.
They're not gonna put up with that.
So they're not looking for people how old?
I don't know. They said skewer 20, 30s, and 40s, so talk Game of Thrones, which we do.
Right, even though you're, by their definition, you are an old-ass man.
Yeah, but I think I know what a younger audience wants.
Right, you skew a little bit younger.
Yeah. I mean,
but you're old.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, I know.
You don't give many Seinfeld references. I do like that about you.
Now, every now and then, I'll drop a reference from some obscure 80s movie.
Yeah. And you have weird taste in music.
Weird taste in music.
Yeah, like you're one of the only people who doesn't unanimously agree that the 80s was like a horrible musical decade.
Now, see, you're from the 90s, so you're automatically going to think the 90s were better. It wasn't. There was some good stuff
there. I mean, the 90s were pretty bad, too, but the 90s were better than the 80s.
Nah. See, that doesn't mean I have a bad opinion on music. It just means I'm older than you.
I mean, it's just an odd opinion, that's all.
It's not odd. I think your opinion's odd.
I mean, because I think of you as, what year were you born?
64.
So to me, like when your shapeable years should have been like the 70s, the late 70s.
Yeah.
And the music in the 70s was really good. And then it got bad.
See, I don't think it got bad. I disagree with you on that. All right. Think those bands influenced a lot of the bands that I liked. And all the bands I was in were all influenced by Led Zeppelin and Ted Nugent and Queen and bands like that. And then we took it off in a different direction where everything was just about sex and suicide. And that was about it.
I think it was sex and then suicide. Like that.
Yeah, well, it was one or the other. We didn't really do songs about both.
Right.
But there was some good music there that's just kind of gotten thrown away because of
how the guy's hair looked.
We had the worst hair in the 80s, I'm the first to admit. Women too. You go back and look at women's
Everybody
hair.
Everybody in the '80s, their hair looks like they're from Dallas.
I was watching what the hell was that the other day, that Arnie movie? Oh, Running Man, and just seeing the hairstyles from all those chicks and the men in there, it's like, oh, we're so embarrassing.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. As the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area. You can do it with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, check out what they can do for your backyard. Maybe you want to spend more time out there, but you've got a faded pool deck or a grayed out patio. Carved stone overlay will fix that for you. It gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. It looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you save money as well. 0% financing for up to 18 months. Guys, save yourself that hassle. Save yourself that expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check them out online. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store. Download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. They said, how is 80s bad? GNR, Van Halen, Motley Crue. There's really good bands in every decade. There's also a lot of crap. Yeah, it's just whatever your preference is. I mean, I think J-Rap was asking, what decade would you consider to be the best musically? See, that's kind of hard.
I mean, the late 60s, early 70s is the best.
And that's the thing. Like, Van Halen's technically late 70s. So do you put them in the 70s or the 80s? And, you know, GNR was 80s, but I would say, yeah, the late 60s and early 70s across the board, where, you know, the Beatles and the Stones and, I mean,
Zeppelin was, and the Who and Jimi Hendrix
and Black Sabbath for my things. I mean, just there were so many bands that influenced so much and changed the way music was being done. And, you know, they sang about sex, but they sang about drugs too, which was kind of cool. Yeah. And social issues. I mean, it was just, I think that's where, because you can cover almost any one of those songs now and it'll sound good if you're any good. There's some songs from the 80s and 90s that if you try to cover, they're still going to suck no matter what you do to them. Latest odds to win the Heisman Trophy. Your boy Sam Darnold down from 5-1 to 9-2.
Oh, going the wrong way.
Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, 10-1.
Nope.
JT Barrett, 15.
That's a sneaky maybe.
No, 12. Excuse me. He's 12. Jake Browning is 15.
Jake Browning's my dude, but I don't think they're going to win enough games to.
Josh Rosen's at 20.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it done. Here's one that's interesting. Jared Stidham opened at 50. It's at 15.
Jeez.
And was it Brad Powers from pregame who got in on that at 50-1 from watching the spring game? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. Well, I'd say basically AJ wants you to follow popular opinion on 80s music. I think it's cool to go away from the crowd. I don't know that that's it's not a popular opinion in my world.
Yeah.
it's you know, okay. It's just an opinion I disagree with. I do think we had the worst hair decade. There's no question. I wish I had that hair back, but I wouldn't wear it like that now.
You would.
No, now I'd kind of go for like the old, you know, long-haired old dude look. Jesse says Mayweather minus 400 now available. That's getting enticing.
Yeah, I'll see what it's like on fight night.
I didn't think it was going to get that low.
I didn't either. What would it open at? Minus 1,000?
It was 1,100.
Ugh.
Yeah. I think.
Imagine if you had a big ticket for like a minus 1,100, how much of a bonehead you'd feel like now.
Well, I think all this stuff about, and if I'm Mayweather, I'm going to drive the price down a little bit. Yeah, I'm just going to spend the week in the strip clubs and, yeah, and oh, stuff starts coming about, oh, McGregor might have a chance. All right. You guys go on with that. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in. And I'm sure every generation wants to say theirs was the best musically.
John, was your music, was the music of your generation the best?
I mean, I'm strictly kind of a hip-hop fan, so it's kind of like, what was my generation, I guess?
But you're old-school hip-hop. You don't like mumble hip-hop, right?
No, I do not. I kind of grew up with like late 90s hip-hop.
Okay.
So I'm AJ's a little bit young older than me. So did you grow up with NWA and that that generation?
Like, NWA and Beastie Boys
Rakim
big for me. Yeah, Eric B and Rakim. And but then I was also like Wu-Tang Clan, and then I got into like Tupac and Biggie and stuff like that. So we probably overlap some.
Yeah, I think I came in on the tail end of, I remember Tupac getting killed. And I think I came in a little after that. So everything I heard.
So you're like a 50 Cent guy.
No, I started with Eminem.
Okay.
And I think his kind of music kind of, because I didn't like high school.
So you were like one of the, you related to it. You hated everyone.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So,
you were thinking about how you could kill somebody and put them in the back of your car. Yeah.
No, but that kind of music kind of helped me through high school. So that's why, looking back on it, you know, like I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago when Chester died. That kind of music does influence the way that you pick up on that kind of music, because that's the kind of lifestyle you're kind of living. And a lot of that with Linkin Park and with Eminem is kind of how I grew up in high school. And so I'm listening to this type of music, and which is the reason why I think one of my favorite albums of all time is the Marshall Mathers LP. Okay. It's a great album. I put it as my number one album of all time. Some people might put something else, but I put that up there. So that's the type of music that I grew up with. And then as I got older, I started listening back to like Illmatic, which is one of my favorites of all time as well. And then I learned about Biggie and Tupac as I was going through high school and college. And I picked up on Eric B and Rakim and that kind of thing. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's the generation. I grew up in the generation with Juvenile and with Cash Money. That was the mumble rap of my generation.
Okay. Yeah, that could have turned somebody off from that.
And what's funny is I didn't know about any of these guys you're talking about until... Well, I learned a lot from, because you guys always talk about it, but I learned a lot from watching that Defiant Ones. I mean, there was I got a really good education on some of these guys that I'd heard of, but I didn't really know the stories behind. And that show is so good.
That was a great show.
If you haven't seen, that's one of the best documentaries I think I've seen of any type. And it's not just about rap and hip hop. I mean, it's every type of music and how they kind of brought it all together and then sold a bunch of headphones for a buttload of money.
Yeah, and as we're going through that documentary, when it hit the Eminem part and then it hit the Marilyn Manson part, I'm like, I remember all of this happening with the media outrage with Eminem and Marilyn Manson and everything that I guess at the time it was Interscope they were doing at the time. So I remember all that, and I was like, man, it's kind of nostalgic to kind of go back and watch all this stuff.
Well, and then to look at all the groups that I didn't even realize that they had, like Black Eyed Peas and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, they just, everybody that
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome that he told Gwen Stefani, you're not ready to be a star. Come back in 3 years.
And almost he was 3 years on the dot.
Yeah.
That was 6 years. He told her it was going to be 6 years she was a star.
Okay,
yeah,
they said 3 years.
Yeah. And it turned out it was like 6 years to the day.
They got to figure it out.
That bleep was bananas.
and I love what he told Trent blanking from
Trent Reznor.
Yeah, just like, no, do what you want.
Yeah.
What else you want? And let them do their thing. All right. Is that hour number one already?
1 hour. Jeez. In the books. We hadn't even talked about Anquan Boldin retiring and the obvious comparison in this town anyway, as far as Hall of Fame resumes. I'm curious your thoughts on that one. Because okay. I know there's a lot of people in this town who think Andre Johnson should be a Hall of Famer. And I wonder if they would put him in before Anquan Boldin.
Well, we can look at that when we come back.
Okay. Debate and discuss.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.